Good morning, happy Sabbath. I can guarantee everybody I will not be up here for 2 hours right now. They can barely get me to speak longer than 15, 20 minutes at church, so y'all do not have to worry about anything today. Before I start, I want everybody to bow their heads with me for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this day, Lord, in which we can come together and rest in you, in which we don't have to work. We can put all our cares and our problems to the side, Lord, and just rest and relax in you. So, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity that you've given us to come and spend time with you, the Creator, for an entire day. And I ask you now that your Holy Spirit be upon me as I break the bread of life to your people. I pray that hearts and minds shall be open to hear those things in which I'm going to bring. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I have a very short message, but it's very important. If you didn't hear the scripture reading earlier, it came from Isaiah 28, verse 21. And it says, one day God is going to perform an act, a strange act, something that's outside of his character, something that's different. Well, you know, when Jesus was living, there was one thing that he did that when you read it, it makes no sense. It was nothing like him. It was something completely out of his character. Now, before I say anything else, I want all of us to turn and go to Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 12. When you have it, say amen. So I know you're there. Mark chapter 11, and we're going to start at verse 12. You got one? Now keep in mind now, for 30-something years, Jesus never did anything like this, what we're about to read. All right, now I'm going to read it in your hearing, and I'm going to start at verse 12. Listen to this. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. So Jesus was hungry. Verse 13. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if happily he might find anything good thereon. You know, when you go to your refrigerator and you got a smile on your face, hoping you find something good to eat. And it says, and when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. For the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, I mean, I don't remember reading in that last verse where the tree spoke to him, but it says, Jesus answered and said unto the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now jump down to verse 20. Go to verse 20, and I'm going to continue. And in the morning, the next day, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up at the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. Now, church, I want y'all to follow me for a second. Jesus is hungry. He goes to a fig tree. Now, keep in mind, the time of figs is not yet. Jesus goes to the tree. He starts filling around the leaves, trying to find something to eat. And then suddenly, when he doesn't find anything, he curses the tree. And the tree dies and dries up at the root. And like I said, think about it. The weird part is, Jesus went looking for fruit on a tree when it was not ready to yield its fruit yet. That's weird, ain't it? Can you imagine the disciples when they were like, what's wrong with Jesus? Jesus done lost his mind. What's wrong with him? He must be having one of them clean out the temples days. He must be having a bad attitude today. What's the problem? What's going on? See, this is it's weird. Why did Jesus go to this tree and curse this tree? Because he didn't find something to eat. Think about all the other stuff that people said and did to Jesus in the Bible. this poor little tree didn't even say one word to Jesus. But the Bible said Jesus answered the tree like it did something to him and cursed him and dried it up at the roots. Is everybody with me? Now, but you know what really bothered the disciples as well as me, you know, when I read this story, the first thing that comes to your mind is, you know, this is nothing like Jesus. This is nothing like his ways or his works. I mean, the devil takes life. Jesus was busy resurrecting people. This is the same Jesus that said, I come to the earth with healing in my wings. I seek to save, not to destroy. Jesus never destroyed anything on this planet when he was here. Never. Jesus was known as a restorer of things. He spent entire days healing people. Jesus spent more time healing people than he did preaching. Blessing people, blessing their kids. This is the same Jesus that was so eager to help people and heal people that the only thing one lady had to do was she had to come and just touch the hem of his garment, and she was healed. It's the same Jesus who was so willing to speak to people, that help people, that if you had enough faith, he was, you know, say, I spoke the word. It's already done happen. I don't even have to see the person. So can everybody see why this is strange? Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Why did he destroy something in his life? Now, keep in mind, when you read in Corinthians, it says when we read the Bible, these things are examples for us. So we want to find out, why did Jesus do this strange act, this weird thing? Now, first thing we need to ask, what do trees represent in the Bible? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. When you have it, let me know. Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. I got two. All right, I'm going to read it and everybody's going to listen. This is Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Listen to this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning and crying, the garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness, or if you're sad, that my people may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So biblically, what do trees stand for? People, right? Righteous people, right? That's you and me. Everybody here that's in this church right now. But what about this? What particular type of tree are we called throughout the Bible? We're not just called trees. We're called certain type of trees. Go with me to Genesis chapter 49 and verse 22. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. All right, is everybody there? Now, just follow me with this for a minute. Now, listen to this. Talking about Joseph, in chapter 49 in Genesis, verse 22, it says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough unto a well whose branches runneth over the wall. Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 5, said, I am the what? What branch? You are the vines, and in me you bear your fruit. So, ladies and gentlemen, y'all follow me for a second. Jesus is talking to fruitful trees. That's you and me. We are represented as trees in the Bible. Jesus went to a tree and cursed it. Just think about that for a second. Now, With that being said, what does the fruit that we bear represent in the Bible? What is the fruit that we bear that represents in the Bible? Now go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Now, is everybody following me? Say amen if you are. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. All right, you have it? All right, listen to this. Genesis 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So not only are you a tree, but a fruitful tree. You are a tree that is supposed to bear the character of God. You are supposed to represent Him in every part of your life. And see, you know, the whole purpose of being a Christian is, if I accept Jesus into my life, my job is to learn how He lived so that I can imitate Him, so that when others who are watching me see me, they'll want to imitate who I'm imitating, right? Amen? That's how it works. How do you draw somebody to God when you're not acting like the God that you represent? How is that possible? You can't do it. And you have to think about it too. You know, people can only be reached as long as you have a connection with God yourself. Keep in mind, Jesus said, you know, you got to be connected to me to bear fruit. Folks, that's why we can talk to some people all day long and you can't get nothing out of them. It's not me that reaches people. It's not me that's up here speaking to you. It's the Holy Spirit and God who speaks through me, who speaks through you to reach people. Folks, a lot of times it has nothing to do with how much Bible information that you know. It has nothing to do with how much knowledge that you have. If you don't have that spirit to put that extra oomph on your words, it means nothing on people. It means nothing. That's why Jesus says you have to be connected to me. And keep in mind, a tree constantly grows and it constantly produces fruit. So as a Christian, I don't really have any days off as being a Christian, do I? Y'all sure I can take a break even on my bad days? It's usually the days you take a break is the days everybody watching you mess up, right? That's usually how it works. And sometimes that one mistake will cost you for the rest of your life. Because you know, sometimes with people, first impressions is all they need. It don't matter how many people vouch for you. All you got to do is do one stupid thing one time. People say, you know, hey, you know, when I met him, it wasn't nothing like that. And you got to remember, too, a fruitful tree has two purposes. It provides food for somebody who's hungry, and it provides seed for somebody who wants to go out and share what they have. Amen? Here's something to think about. The Bible says every person that's in Jesus will bear fruit. When I get to heaven, I will be responsible for at least bringing in one other person with me. That's a biblical fact. That also means somebody else's life depends upon your decision coming to God. That's a sobering thought, right? You mean you telling me just by me accepting Jesus and living the right life, somebody else automatically will come in because of my decision to follow Him? You know, it's interesting. God works it out. Because, you know, when I used to read about the thief on the cross, you know, in a sense, you want to say he cheated. He got to live his life the way he wanted to. And in the last 2.5 seconds of his life, he asked Jesus for forgiveness. And Jesus said, you know what? You're going to be with me in heaven. Now, keep in mind, the thief died on the cross. I mean, right after he had spoke to Jesus. So how is he going to be responsible for people being saved when he get to heaven? Jesus said, don't worry about it. I got that. I'm going to put his story in the Gospels. Can you imagine how many people are saved just by reading his last minute decisions in his life? See, even he, when he get to heaven, people are going to come up to him. Hey, man, you know, I read your story. And, you know, it's because of you I got saved. What you talking about? I just asked Jesus one question. What are you talking about? I mean, it's going to be amazing to see the results. Just because he made that decision, God was still able to use him to save millions of people. And how many people have read the story about the dying thief on the cross? And see, if that's true, then church, the opposite must also be true. If I don't bear fruit, and if I don't act like God, then I automatically, by default, cause someone else to be lost. And you have to remember, you know, do you want to serve your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? He's the happiest thing that ever happened to me in my life. You should come and experience the joy that I'm having right now. I mean, that's how we are sometimes. So you know what? When we approach people like that, you know, well, I don't know. You sure don't look happy serving Jesus yourself. Why should I even bother trying to do what you're doing? You look miserable if you ask me. Amen, right? That's how it works, right? Because when we get involved in everything else that doesn't deal with church, you should see the excitement and the expressions on our faces when we do it. People can tell, you know, man, he's really crazy about that. Like at our church, everybody know our pastor crazy about basketball. Basketball, basketball, that's his thing. But you know, when it comes to this, you're like, yeah, you want to come to Bible study? Yeah, you should come to the church sometimes. It's great. We have a swell time. People come in the door, visitors, how you doing? Happy Sabbath. Well, I don't know. Is it really happy? Because you don't look happy to be here. Maybe I should walk right back out the door. You see, it's not that hard, folks. It's really pretty simple. What happens to a tree that doesn't bear fruit? Turn with me to Luke chapter 13. And we're going to start at verse 6. Luke chapter 13. And I'm going to start at verse 6. Luke 13, verse 6. All right, you have it? Listen to this. Jesus was talking about a parable. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. That's where have we heard that before? Where have we heard that before? Yeah, that's pretty familiar. Then said he unto the dresser of the vineyard, the guy who's keeping the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. That's interesting. Isn't it the same type of tree that Jesus couldn't find fruit on? Cut it down. Why cumbereth in the ground? Why let it stay there? And he said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after thou shalt cut it down. Now, church, I want us to look at, first of all, what God does to keep the tree from being cut down first. The first thing you notice the dresser of the garden said, give it some more time. You know, 3 years is a lot of time. How many years I've been in church? 13, about 13 years. How many years y'all been in church? Forever. Y'all was here before I was. I mean, before I go into that. But, you know, how many of us in here are perfect? How many of y'all can stand up and say y'all got it together? Y'all sure? Got no bold ones here? I don't have it together either. God is saying, give Terry some more time. TPN got it together. Give Greg Street a new life. Augusta First, give them some more time. They don't have it together yet. And see, you know, we call it fruitful trees, but folks, you know, every fruit-bearing vine and tree is different. A watermelon, you got that little old vine, then you got this big old fruit that come off of it. And then you got this pear tree that my granddad planted out in the country. It's like 500 years old. I swear you can go up to that tree and you can just push it over and you swear it'll break. But the pears that come off that tree, it tastes like somebody just took bags of Dixie Crystal and just poured it all around the pear tree. Because when you bite into those things, they are so sweet. But the tree looks so rotten. And then you have strawberries. You know, I had a guy tell me when we was pouring some concrete for him this week, I didn't notice, but he said, you just can't let strawberries do what they want to do. He said, they'll take over the whole yard and take over the whole world if you don't watch them. He said, we start planting them here. He said, they end up all on the other side of the street somewhere. Blueberries, really good, but sometimes they don't produce every year. See, all of us are just like that. We're all different. See, everybody's not the same. We can't make each other like, you can't make everybody like you. You can't make everybody witness like you. You can't make everybody understand the Bible like you. You can't make everybody be just like you. All of us are different. We're good at different things. And see, each one of those plants need to be protected differently when they're growing. I saw when this lady was planting some strawberries, she had a net. I was like, what the net is for? She said, well, duh. She said, young man, you know the birds come take my strawberries and fly off. I didn't know. I'm not a gardener. I don't know that. But she said, that's how we have to protect those. Another guy said he'd go out in the yard with his gun ready to shoot all the squirrels that were trying to get the nuts off his trees out there. And see, it's like that in the church. I'm different from everybody in here. It may take something different to keep me growing, to keep me going. I may need to be involved in different things than you are to keep me going. That's why, can you be a part of this ministry? No. Don't get mad at the person. That may not be their thing. Amen? Y'all following me? Everybody is different. Not everybody is the same. And some fruit have to be, how you say it, nipped by the frost before they come ripe. Some people can be in church for years. It may take a traumatic experience for them to really start to get serious with God. Everybody's different. That's why Jesus said we're fruitful trees. And here's the other thing. You know, Jesus didn't want to cut, or the gardener didn't want to cut the tree down in spite of the fact that all it was doing was taking nutrients up out the ground for all the other trees around it. You know, some of us in church, some of us just run people right on out the door. Some of us wear other church members out, acting crazy. You know, I heard a preacher talk about spiritual dementia. And the name of his sermon was Friendly Fire. He said, he talked about a couple that went over to this other couple's house who got invited for dinner at the church. And when the lady got there, said the lady went and said, excuse me, can I go to y'all restroom? And he said, he said, sure, go straight down the hallway and then make the third right. And, you know, the bathroom will be right there. There'll be another door across the hallway, but that's not the bathroom. Go there. So the lady went. And then when the lady gets back there, an old man opens the door right before she get ready to go in. Who are you? Why are you in my house? That's my bathroom. What you finna go over there into my bathroom for? Why are you even here? And by the way, you real ugly. So what you doing here? You know what the lady did? She turned red as a cherry. She ain't never been so insulted in her life going over a church member's house and be treated like that. Lady, she stomped back, went in there, and she grabbed her coat. Said, I'm getting ready to go. And I was like, what are you doing? Where are you going? And she said, I've never been so humiliated in my life. And that man back there, and y'all call yourselves Christians, and da, 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 da. And it was like, oh, you met Grandpa, didn't you? Grandpa has dementia. Church folks are just like that. Some of us got spiritual dementia. We get sick. Sometimes we insult one another. We do things. Amen. Y'all looking at me like that? I done said stuff out the way sometimes before the people I had no business saying. Sometimes you can't approach everybody the same way. You got to be careful when you're talking to people. You got to feel them out. The church is a hospital. The same preacher said, I can tell you what's the problem with every church in the world right now. I can tell you why every church has problems. And you know what he said? It has people in them. And as long as you got people, you're going to have what? You're going to have problems. The church is a hospital. The church is a hospital. You come here with your problems to get better. You can't walk in the door perfect. You come here to get there. Now, Jesus wants to give everybody more time. He wants to give everybody more opportunities to get it right. And see, the crazy thing is, he's giving us opportunities to do stuff, just like the tree. But we should have already been producing fruit. The tree that was in the garden that was soaking up all the fertilizer and nutrients from the other trees, he was trying to save a tree that was already robbing other trees. It's interesting how God don't give us what we deserve sometimes. I'm still trying to work with you, and you're causing more problems in a little bit. But I'm still going to work with you. And see, in the judgment, when every lost person, the Bible says, when every lost person stands before God in the judgment, the Bible says God will make a statement to every person that's lost. He will say, "What more could I have done to save you than I already did?" You know all the trash people talk now when I get in the judgment? I'm going to wear God out. Boy, the situation I came up in, the stuff that was done to me, the way I was treating my lifestyle. You better be real careful, because the Bible says God keeps a record of everything. You better make sure your record's straight before you open your mouth. The Bible says God will stand in front of that person. "Well, tell me what I could have did more to save you than I already did." And when you say, "God, you ain't do this and this and that," that angel who was assigned to you going to come over there, going to open up your book, and your entire life going to be laid out. God going to say, "That's real funny, because right here, back in 2000, right here, I did this, this, and this, and this. And you knew it was me. And that's funny, I did it in a couple other places." God is going to say to every person, "Tell me what more I could have did to save you than I already did." The parable says Jesus didn't want to cut down the tree. He tried to do everything he could to save the tree. And he could have cut it down a long time ago. Why God even waste time with us sometimes? I ask him that myself sometimes. I'm like, "Lord, I know I ain't worth 2 cents sometimes." I mean, if you're going to be honest with yourself, it's true. It's true. You cannot tell me your prayers are not like that sometimes when you do the same stupid stuff over and over again. "God, I got problems." I mean, I'm amazed that you even let me walk into church without catching on fire sometimes. I mean, folks, if that's not your attitude, it kind of bothers me, because the farther you are away from Jesus, for some reason, the more people think they're just like Jesus. But the more you study about him and the more you understand his life and his work, you like, there's no way I can live up to this. This is impossible. I can't do this. You find out you are so much not like him the closer you get to him. And see, in Matthew, I believe it's 25:41, when you do a study on heaven, when you do the size of the city, they said, they took mathematicians who did the calculations. They said the city is so huge that every person who has ever lived and been born since Adam and Eve can fit into that city. Now, you think about that. That means God's intentions from day one is that nobody should have ever been lost. And here's the interesting thing. When people started being lost, God didn't change the size of the city. He said the dimension's still the same. God, hoping against hope, I can get everybody. I mean, yeah, it means more space for you if you make it. I mean, but still, God's intentions was like, I never wanted anybody to be lost. When they asked Jesus about hell, Jesus said hell was prepared for the devil and for his angels. Who's missing? Man. He said it was never prepared for y'all. It was never my intention for anybody to end up in hell. And y'all, we got God so twisted and backwards, it's ridiculous, right? Even Sodom and Gomorrah, angels couldn't even go down there without men trying to get the angels. That's a pretty bad place when you can't go or walk around the streets like that. He said the angels had to strike the men with blindness. But you know what the Bible says? Jesus said, "Let's go down there and see if things are really as bad as it is." I mean, you God, don't you already know? See, sometimes God does stuff for us. He already knows what the deal is, but he does things for us. It's interesting, why does God have a judgment if he already knows everything about it? The judgment isn't for God. The judgment is for us. So that we can see that he did everything he possibly could to get people in. When you read about what the Bible says, we get to heaven, and it says we'll be in heaven for 1,000 years. I used to think, why are we wasting so much time over there? Why don't we just come on back to the earth and recreate it so we can get started? It's interesting that the Bible says during that time, God is going to say, "You know what? Y'all know that boy that was preaching to y'all up there at Greg Street, and he didn't make it. So y'all might want to say, but why Terry didn't make it? Here go Terry life record right here. Right after he left church that Saturday, he had it like a fool and never got it back together again. It's going to be a lot of people that are going to have questions. People are going to want to know, where's so-and-so? Where's so-and-so? You know, where's the piano player? Where's the deacons? Where the usher? I was with them. God is going to take the time out to let you go over the record. He wants you to find a mistake. Please let me know if you find something wrong with the record. Y'all see where I'm going with this? See, we think, you know how we get sometimes? If you look at me the wrong way, I want you to get struck with a lightning bolt. Don't even bat your eye at me the wrong way. Remember James and John? Jesus, they don't want to follow you. Strike them all with lightning. Jesus said, wait a minute. Whoa. You know, that's not me. That's not how I do things. If they don't want to follow me, they got the right to do whatever they want to do. I remember Jesus slapping people and telling people to follow him. I remember him dragging people behind him. I don't remember none of that. Jesus gave people the right to do what they wanted to do. But there's one thing that's real sad about the whole situation. The fact that God gave the tree more time, increased blessings, and even surrounded the tree with everything that it needed, he still could not get that tree or force that tree to bear one piece of fruit. Not one piece of fruit. And you see, that's the problem Jesus has with us. And it's the very reason he destroyed the fig tree. When the time came for Jesus, you know, to go through the fig tree and take a look and see, it represents when God comes and look into our life. Oh man, y'all doing a whole lot of talking, but I'm not seeing any fruit anywhere. And the Bible says we leave God with no other choice but to destroy us. Why have a fruit tree that will never ever bear fruit? You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, you know, it's funny the Bible uses a fig tree. What kind of leaves did Adam and Eve use when they made their clothes, when they got in trouble, when they saw that they was naked? Fig leaves. It's interesting how the Bible connects everything together like that. You ever tried to wear fig leaves to go to work? Anybody ever tried that? Take a string and needle and just run it through a bunch of leaves and just wrap it on around you. Good wind come through, all your glory gonna show. Leaves rot too. So how long are you gonna keep that pair of clothes? That's how our righteousness is before God. It's no good. It's no good. And see, the strangest thing that God will ever have to do is to destroy people that he loves. And destroying anything is so far from God's character that the Bible says it's God's strange act. It's unlike his character. The Bible says in Hebrews, God created the worlds. Biblically, we are not the only world that was created, folks. There are other worlds. That's the Bible. Job, when all the sons of God met together and Satan came to represent our world, who were the other sons of God? Where are they from? Who are they? The Bible says, did he not leave the 99 to come save the one that was lost? Who are the other 99? See, we don't think about these things. Closing statement, God is not willing that any person should perish. Unlike us, you know, folks, we want people to be lost sometimes. I mean, sometimes we feel like, I don't even know why God even wastes time with them. We don't have the patience God do with people. And it's a good thing. Because if God treated us like how we treated other people, we wouldn't be here anyway. That's why God say, whatever standard you use, how you want to treat that person, be sure and best believe I'm going to use the same standard against you when it comes to the judgment. So if you want to get on that man about doing something small, well, best believe when the judgment comes, I'm going to get on everything about you that you do small. And we have to keep that in mind. And see, the interesting thing is, with the fig tree, there was no ending to that parable. There is no the rest of the story. The rest of the story is played out in your life. You are the fig tree that's about to be cut down. Jesus is like, they're about to take the axe to you. I need to dig around you. He's giving you more water. He's surrounding you with people. He's putting people in your life that probably help you to become more spiritual. You may notice you may have more access to information. Things are happening in this world. Things are changing. And Jesus is saying, I'm trying to get you to see something. I'm trying to get your attention. So the story ends however you want it to end. Will we be cursed, or will you become a tree that shall bear fruit? Amen.